Hey, we want to look at Colossians chapter 3 together. If you don't have your Bibles, it's on the front cover. But today, of course, is Palm Sunday. And when we speak of Palm Sunday, we are, of course, speaking of the beginning of what we call Passion Week, Holy Week, and that is to say the final path that Jesus was on in working our salvation for us, that finally led him to Calvary, led him to the cross. And so these are important times, important traditions for us to look at. And I am still putting this message or this whole framework of Palm Sunday and the cross in the context of the theme that we have been trying to fiddle with over the last couple of weeks of to grow or not to grow is always the question. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we're here, and Lord, as we come to this time now, that it'd be more than just, hearing words going in one ear and out the other. But God, something transformative would happen here in this place right now, that we would not just consider ourselves to be passive onlookers, passive hearers, but something of your Spirit would now engage us to hear from you, God, to walk with you through this time right now, in Jesus' name, as we look into your word. Amen. Okay, so anyways, to grow or not to grow is always the question. We've been camping there, and now we want to look at something in particular in Colossians, and then I'm going to allude to Luke as well. But Colossians is in the New Testament. It's one of the letters that's found there that tells us, that shows us, that explains to us what living like a Christian is. Paints that picture for us, okay? And the Christian life, your life, and you really got to get this, I really got to get this to sink in, is nothing if not about the cross. The cross. And, of course, as we come to Holy Week and it culminates in resurrection, thank God, and this is what we talk about, this is what we point to, we talk about, look at Easter, that Easter is about resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. And we have to hold steady, though. We look at that. Because before we get to resurrection, we have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Or the cross. The cross. And I'm not going to take the time to do it here this morning. I know I've done it here a long time ago, but there's this human drama that we do, this human illustration that I like doing, and it goes something like this, where we'll have someone come and, you know, they stand as the cross, and we'll have someone who is, you know, who is without Christ, and they are usually carrying a backpack, because to illustrate that they're loaded down with a load of sin. And then we'll add another person to the equation, you know, a person who is going to be a witness for Christ, let's say. And they're going to help bring that person to the cross, to Christ, where it's the only place where that freedom from sin can take place. And that person, they bring them to the cross, you know, and they unload there at the cross. And at the cross, there is forgiveness and there is freedom from sin. It's a powerful thing to be forgiven of our sins. And it's unloaded there. And then that person walks away. And as they're walking away, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, you forgot something. Oh, forgot something. What could I, you know, I gave something. And something happened in my life. What is it that I'm forgetting? Well, and then it's like what you forgot is your cross. Your cross. Not Jesus' cross, because none of us can touch that. He provided the redemption for us on that cross. But he did say in Luke chapter 9 and other gospel passages, if you're going to follow me, you have to do what? Pick up your cross and follow me. And we forget that sometimes, that when we leave that place where we found salvation, Jesus has a gift for us, and it's a cross, my cross that I have to bear. You say, what does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about that, you know, what that means. And I think it's often forgotten by us, and that is the cross that I bear, the cross that I have to bear. You ever think about the Christian life as being a cross that you have to bear? Interesting, isn't it? And so let's read from Colossians chapter 3, and this is an Easter passage, a resurrection, a Holy Week passage, Colossians chapter 3, and you'll see in a moment. Next week we'll deal more specifically with the resurrection of Jesus. But right now, let's just look at this. And he says, since then, you've been raised with Christ. And, of course, before chapter 3 is chapter... Caitlin, anybody know? Before chapter 3 is... Dolores, God bless you. Your age hasn't affected your sensibilities? No, not at all. And, of course, I mean... Anyways, thank you. I like laughing. And he says, since then you've been raised with Christ. And so notice a couple of things immediately. That, and this goes in with, you know, bearing your cross. That so often we speak about the resurrection, we speak about the cross, we forget that Jesus did what he did, and this is very personal, for me, on my behalf. Okay? And you say, well, how personal is it? It's so personal that I participate in what he did. That's how personal it is. See, we forget that. With the religious connotations and with us only thinking in that dimension religiously, we don't make the connection. Well, yes, Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, there is the cross and Good Friday. And we see him and we see Jesus, and wonderful, and we need to. But we have to see that he made me a participant in that. We have to see that. And he says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. You see the participation there, with? It's an amazing thing. And since then, he points us back to the previous chapter, and this is why I was being stupid earlier. He says in verse 13 of chapter 2, when you were dead in your sins, then he says, God made you alive with Christ. And so the idea is that, you know, there was a time since then, you've been raised with Christ. You were dead in your sins, without God, without Christ. And he calls that dead. Dead. The deadening effect of sin in my life made me also dead to God. But having come to Christ, he says, you are now alive to God. Well, I know there's a God. It's not just a religious figment of my imagination, some kind of mental assent that I kind of just fuzzily, you know, in a fuzzy type of way say, I believe. But no, wow, I know God. And I have this sense about me that I was dead, but I'm alive now. There's a part of me that is come into this consciousness, that it's not just, you know, a consciousness of I'm alive and in the world, but I'm alive also to God, and he's alive to me. I have this consciousness about me now. See? And this is what's happened in the resurrection, in the cross. This is what's happened to you and what's happened to me. He says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. You've come out of the tomb of your deadness in sin, and you're now alive to God. You've been raised with Christ. He says, this is your new normal as a Christian. Not in name only, but now this is your new normal. It is a resurrection normal now. You're alive to God. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. What Jesus did when he rose from the dead is he took me along with him. You're alive to God. He says, since that is the case, he says, now set your hearts on things above. Your affections belong in the same place that God has brought you to. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things that pertain to this earth only. And then he says, for you died. That's pretty heavy-duty stuff there. You died. So once again, not only have you been raised with Christ, but you have died with Christ, participated with him in his death. Now, this is hard stuff to get a handle on unless you really follow it closely. But you're dead. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So you are dead to all of those things that keeps a person dead to God. And you're now alive to God in Christ. You're dead. You've died. And he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And the idea there is, no one lives forever. No one lives forever. In this life as we know it. So, he says, be careful how much stock you buy up here. Your affections, your mind. Be careful how much stock, you know, be careful how your roots go down here because, and you can't what? Take it with you. Can't take it with you. Can't take it with you. But he says, there's coming a day when he says what? He says, when he's going to appear, and you will also appear with him in glory. That although we don't live forever here, life does not stop. It continues, but it continues in that place that he has always made us for. He calls it glory here. We understand it as heaven, right? We understand it as that dimension of life that is eternal life where God is. I'm going there. I'm going there. Okay? And then he says here, he says, put to death. Listen, you're dead. So there are things that you have to label as dead. Then he lists them. He says, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Now, what he means by your earthly nature is this. I'm going someplace, okay, introduce setting the table. So I know it can be tedious, especially for some of you who are not used to listening well, Bobby. He says, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. That is, that nature, or that part of us, that part of you that has been ruined by sin. Has been ruined by sin. Now, I don't think it would take much arguing with most of us that there are parts of us that have been ruined by sin. If you could enter my thought life for 2 seconds, you would know that there's a part of me that's been ruined by sin. Okay? And he says, put that to death. And then he mentioned some of them. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which he says is idolatry. He says, put those things to death. He says, you used to walk in that when you were dead in your sins. That was your old normal. Was your old normal. That's the way you used to live. That's the way you used to was. He says, that's where you were. He says, but now you must rid yourselves of all of these things. He says, put them to death. That's the terminology he uses. Kill them. Put them to death. Crucify them. And he's also mentioned some others, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. He says, kill those things as well. Put those things to death. He says, watch now, he says, I like this one too. He says, and don't lie to each other. And it's almost like, oh yeah, and don't lie to one another either. And then he says, because, in so many words, the old normal is gone, and there's a new normal now, and having been risen, having come alive to God. He says, since you have taken off the old self, so he changes, you know, somewhat of the metaphor from dying and dead to living and being resurrected to, you know, you've taken that off. You know, you've taken that off, and now you've put on different clothing here. So he says, you've put off. He says, you have taken off in death, you could say. You've taken off that old nature, the old normal that has been ruined by sin. And you have put on a new normal. He says, you have put on a new self. I like this here, verse 16, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. So if anyone, see, creator, because if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? She is a what? New creation. So that God has recreated us, recreated me, and that I have come to Christ. And the resurrection life, the new normal now for me, is to live a life alive to God with having been made a participant in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's my new normal. This is who I am now. This is what I am. So that all of those things that he just listed, practices of the nature that has been ruined by sin, dead. Now, how much power does something dead have over my life? It's dead. You know, it's not dead dead. You know, dead dead. It's dead. So that we have to see that these things of once infiltrated my life and forced me into a lifestyle that was sinful is no longer, has been incapacitated. In fact, has been killed, dead. So that I am no longer under their influence. But he says, since you've been raised with Christ under that influence, this is how you're supposed to live. And so I make the statement again. The Christian life is nothing if not about the cross, because it's at the cross that all of that takes place. At the cross. At the cross. And so now, I'm going to switch gears now. You ready? To build on this thing. Jesus had his cross. Jesus had his cross to bear, and what a cross it was. And we know in that cross the suffering that the Son of God went through and accomplished for us. We know of it, some of it. He purchased our salvation there, yours and mine. But as I make that statement, and the emphasis that I want to make this morning is this, Jesus had his cross to bear, and you have yours. And I have mine. So that I have to see that on the cross, not only is my sin nailed there, and it is. And when we say that, what we mean by my sin being nailed there at the cross is that my sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. But not only is my sin nailed there, but I am nailed there as well. On the cross, God nailed me. He nailed me there at the cross. Because I participated in Jesus' death. So that when Jesus died to sin, guess who also was there dying to sin? Me and you. So that sin is not only a dead thing to me. This is the idea behind me being nailed there. Not only is sin a dead thing to me, and when we say that, we mean that my sins, your sins, are forgiven. See? I'm forgiven of my sins. But I am dead in Christ to my sins. See, I'm dead to my sin. Not only is sin dead to me, but I am dead to my sin. And I'm alive to God. So that by my, and now, when I carry that further and say, well, you know, Jesus' cross, and he had a cross to bear, and all that was accomplished, and now I have a cross to bear, I have to see that when he says, hey, you forgot something, that I go back and he hands me a cross that I have to take up. A cross that I have to take up. And I think that we, as I said earlier, I think we forget about that. So that by my cross, here it is now, by my cross, in the Christian life, your life is nothing if not about the cross. Without, by that cross that God has given to you, God plans to form you into the likeness of Christ. And without that cross, that doesn't happen to you or to me. Okay, are you with me? So, I mean, this is, you know, it's like, wow, are we having fun yet? Because, you know, the cross, and when we speak about the cross, I mean, it's pretty hurtful at times, isn't it? I mean, now think about it this way. So Jesus says to them, now, he says to them, they're gathered around, he's teaching them. And as he's teaching them, they're looking at each other. Some have tears coming down their eyes because of the emotional impact of Jesus' words upon their affections. And they are looking at each other and saying, wow, this is powerful. Ooh, did you feel that? His words. And there's an excitement there. And as he's teaching, they are well aware, if not visually able to see, that Roman form of punishment was to crucify criminals. Right? That was a Roman form of punishment. They crucified criminals. They saw this repeatedly. And so Jesus says to them, if you're going to follow me, you've got to take up your cross if you want to do it. Immediately, their mind goes to seeing the criminals carry their cross to their death, to their execution. And they're like, what's he talking about? You know, all of a sudden, the tears dry up. The excitement that they're all feeling becomes this somber realization that he's talking about something here that goes to the core of my being that is so radical, so life-changing, that it involves a death-defying stunt that God is looking for in my life, that he's after doing something in my life that I don't have a clue. You mean to tell me that's the path I'm supposed to go on? Think about it. As they see these criminals, and then the Romans would line the crosses here and whatever, you know, to show this is the punishment that you're after if you that you're going to get if you step out of line. And Jesus says, you got to take that up and follow me. That there's something about me so dastardly that the only way to get freed from it is a cross upon which I have to experience death. Wow. And this is what he has brought me to participate in? Yes. 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 Now, I don't want to leave you there, and I'm not going to, because there is a resurrection from that death. Okay? But let me just show you something here a minute. My growing up, we're talking about to grow or not to grow is always the question. And how it is that God brings us into what we're calling them growth moments. Remember? Please remember. And that these growth moments, 9 times out of 10, usually confront us with a difficult situation, a hardship. You can call that hardship the cross, your cross that you're bearing. Okay? See? And God's intention is that he would use that difficulty, the cross, that situation, that hardship, that relationship gone bad, whatever the circumstance, in my life to put to death something in me that the end result would be good, would be growth. And that the only way for me to grow is for that thing to die in me. So, how do I apply the cross and grow up? Well, I'd like to look at it in a couple of different ways. The first one is this. The first one is that I need to pronounce a death sentence to that part of me that has been ruined by sin, a death sentence. It isn't something that I need counseling, therapy, medication for. It is something that I need to pronounce a death sentence. So when he speaks about, you know, sexual immorality, lust, lying, anger, he says, listen, you need to pronounce a death sentence on that thing. That when Jesus died on the cross, he put to death that thing in you. Okay, I pronounce a death sentence on it. I do. It's dead. I am dead to that in Christ. In that he has forgiven me of my sins by his blood, by his cross, he has made it possible for me by the power of that cross to put that to death. Okay, it's dead. It's dead in me. The next thing in me, or the next thing that I see that I have to do, is that I have to have a daily funeral for myself. For myself, a daily funeral. He says in Luke chapter 9 and verse, 23, he says, where he says to them, listen, if you're going to follow me, he says you have to take up your cross. Anybody know the next word? In Luke 9:23, he says, take up your cross and follow me. But in between, take up your cross and follow me, he inserts a word. Daily. He said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to take up your cross daily and follow me, daily. So that We have to have a daily funeral for self. Now, you know, someone said, if I kick the one the most, who gave me the most trouble in my life, I wouldn't be able to sit down for a year. Right? And so this whole idea of self, it's worse than you can imagine. It really is. Selfishness, self-centeredness. You know, we call it the Wiffum. You know, all of life is based on Wiffum. What's in it for me? Wiffum. What's in it for me? You know, and how that motivates our lives, how that interferes with our relationships. What's in it for me? Let alone self-worship. And some of you know the Greek myth, the Greek mythological story of Narcissus. You know the story, how he went to the water to wash up, and in the reflection in the pool of water, he saw his face, right? And he says, boy, I love that guy. Who is that? And he fell in love with his reflection in the water that was being, you know, cast back at him. And he said, I'm going to live for that guy. I'm going to invest my whole life in that guy. He is so wonderful, so beautiful. What can I do for him? I will die for him. I love him so much. We get the phrase narcissism from, right? You know? It's all about me, right? You know? Me, 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 me. There's no do, there's no re, there's no fa, la, ti. There's only what? Me. See, me. And the idea is that there has to be this daily funeral to see that it's me, myself, and I. That daily has to be stood against that this selfishness, so that I have to incorporate, and this is the last thing that I'll say, that I have to incorporate into my vocabulary this phrase. You ready? I have to incorporate into my vocabulary this phrase. And the phrase is the dealings of God. Now, I don't know if you have ever heard that phrase before, the dealings of God. It sounds ominous, doesn't it? Well, it is. And it is ominous in one sense. It would be a horrible thing if there were no resurrection. But we know there's a resurrection. But the dealings of God. And the dealings of God is how God, this is, you say, what are the dealings of God? What do you mean by the dealings of God? What we mean by the dealings of God is this: how God uses situations, people, hardships, difficulties, adverse circumstances. Do I need to keep on going with the list? How God uses all of those things and more in our lives, that his intention is to make us unselfish people. That's his intention, those things. That his intention is to make us to live for ourselves less. To live for me less. To live for ourselves less. And you know, some of you have heard me say, you know, because what comes into this a lot of times is, boy, that can really damage a person's self-esteem, talking like that. And we're not talking about thinking less of ourselves. No, I'm made in God's image, and so on. But we're talking about thinking of ourselves less. And so you say, this is what the dealings of God are about in our lives. This is what we mean to say when we talk about growing and God using the cross in your life and in mine. That God's attempt by using the cross, by using these hardships, by putting me in those pickle of a situation. You know what a pickle is? To be in a pickle. You ever been in a pickle? You know? Listen, I've played pickle before and took a ball in the back of the head. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Right? Vic, you ever play pickle when you're a kid? You know, you run base to base, throwing it, right? I used to love playing pickle. I took it in the back of the head, for crying out loud. And we're in those kinds of situations. And, you know, God is attempting by that we would grow. And remember, it's your destiny. It's my destiny to grow in Christ. It's your destiny to grow up. That the cross, you know, is something that God wants to use in your life and in mine for us to grow. And it works, and it works adequately and efficiently to deal with anything and everything in my life that prohibits Christ-likeness. The cross does. Are you with me on that? You hear what I'm saying? You know? Now, if we stop there and just put a period after that, we're in trouble. And so I'm grateful, you know, we'll finish where we began. When the psalmist says, he says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so the cross is something that we pass through, these experiences, how God wants to use it in our lives that we pass through. And you say, well, what are you passing through to? I'm passing through to resurrection. I'm passing through to resurrection. That is to say that though God is putting these things to death in me, and boy, do they need to be put to death, this unselfishness, this worship of myself, nobody's as good as I am, even though you say, I hate myself, still there's nobody as good as I am. You know, we all live geocentric lives. And it takes the work of God's Holy Spirit by his cross and resurrection to bring us to heliocentric living, where our lives don't revolve around ourselves, but they revolve around what God intended for you and me to be in Christ. See? Wow. Wow. And so we don't put the period there because resurrection comes. Good Friday ends in Easter Sunday morning. Aren't you glad for that? Let's stand together in his presence. And so the next time you face a situation, look at it as a cross that you've taken up. You say, what is this all about? Why, you know, you ever say that? I don't need this now. Instead of saying that, look at it like this. Boy, you know what? I asked for this. In fact, I'm carrying this. God wants to use this as the cross in my life to put something in me he knows needs to die, to death. What a way of thinking about it. What a way of living about it. That's the new normal that you and I have been brought to. Lord, I know that these things can be tricky for us to grasp. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives, that we can see the wonderment, the wonder of the new life that you've given to us in Christ. And how it is, God, that being alive now in Christ, that those things of sin, of sinfulness, do not have to keep us in the grave of torment, of fear, of anxiety, of walking in bad stuff away from you. God, but that we can walk with you. Lord, help us to feel that, to see it, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.